Sovereign Grace Chapel, located at 135 Annabelle Lane in Beaver, West Virginia, invites you to listen to a gospel message concerning Jesus Christ our Lord.
I want to talk today, this morning, about God's hands and God's feet. I don't have a specific text to go to begin with, but if you have a Bible, please get it and follow along with the passages that I mentioned so you can see what God's Word says. Now, some of you listening may have heard the following saying. Maybe even some of you use this saying who hear my voice. The saying is this: God has no hands but your hands, and God has no feet but your feet, or something to this effect. I know some may think this to be a cute saying. The problem with this statement is that it is a complete lie on God. Not only is it totally physically false, Christ being God and Christ being man, he had his own hands and his own feet. Although the physical lie on God is offensive to God, there is no doubt about that. It is what they really mean by this saying that is the biggest offense to God. They are saying his hands and his feet and the work they did were not good enough, and that man has to put his hands to it to make it of any value. This, my listeners, is a blasphemous thought that invokes the wrath of God. If we believe God, then we should want to know what God says about the matter and not what this world believes or says about God or man. This world will do anything to build up man rather than glorifying God Almighty. God is a unique God. He is so unique that there is no other God. There is none like unto him. So there is no one and no thing to compare to God to give someone an idea of who he is. All we have is the Word of God, which is breathed by God himself. So what does God say about himself, and what does God say about man? He has given us his Word, and for this reason, and if by his power we are enabled to see it, then we will see that our hands and our feet do not help God at all. As a matter of fact, as we are born in Adam, our hands and our feet offend God and seek to murder him. Today I want to talk to you about two things. First, I want to talk about my hands or our hands and our feet. What kind of works is it they have performed as we are born in Adam? Then second, I want to talk about God's hands and God's feet. What kind of works has God done? Fallen man would like to think they have something good to offer God. Something they can work out that would please God, or something they can run after with fervor to gain favor with God. But God's Word does not teach such doctrine. There is no doctrine in Scripture where it says that man does anything with his hands or his feet to gain God's favor. So what does God say in his Word about what our hands and our feet have done? First off, our hands, which are a part of the flesh that we have, being wicked, we slew the Lord of glory, Jesus Christ, with my hands, and so did you. If you do not believe the God of this Bible and what he says about man, then you are saying just as those did in Christ's time when they nailed him to the tree, I will not have this man reign over me. If you do believe God, the God of Scripture, about who he says man is, then you know it was your sins that put him on the tree, as he had to pay for those sins. This is Peter talking to the Jews in Jerusalem in Acts 2, in verse 22. Acts 2 and in verse 22. Ye men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as ye yourselves also know, him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken, and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. So we see from Scripture that our hands are guilty of the blood of Jesus Christ, one way or the other, either by not wanting this man to reign over you, or the fact that he had to die for your sins. Not only are my hands guilty of murdering the Lord of glory, but my feet are swift to shed blood, the Scripture tells us. Paul says this in Romans 3. Romans 3, and beginning in verse 9. What then? Are we better than they? No, in no wise. For we have before proved, both Jews and Gentiles, that they are all under sin. Jews and Gentiles. This means every single person ever born. You, as you are born, are either a Jew or a Gentile. So we are all under sin. Verse 10, Romans 3 and verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, Jew or Gentile. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God, Jew or Gentile. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. And then here it is, Romans 3 and verse 15. It says, their feet are swift to shed blood, Jew and Gentile, all. God's holy and just law tells me I cannot do those works needed to please God. That law, when I see it and hear it, condemns me to death. Which is why Paul the Apostle says, if a law had been given which could give life, then righteousness should have been by the law. We read this in Galatians 3:21, and this is what it specifically says here in Galatians 3, and verse beginning in verse 21. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. For if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. But the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. So God's law condemns me to death. His Scripture plainly tells us we are dead in trespasses and in sin. So being death by nature, my feet are swift to shed blood. So my hands and my feet, and your hands and your feet, being swift to shed blood, God does not want or need. Misery and destruction are the only thing that will come from the works of my hands and the works of my feet, or the works of your hands and the works of your feet. Here is another passage that tells us what happens when we try to put our hands to God's work. In 1 Chronicles chapter 13, and beginning in verse 7, if you'll turn with me there, 1 Chronicles chapter 13, beginning in verse 7. And this is when David, they had created a new court, a different method of moving the ark around, which was not the prescribed way that they should move this ark around. And that's the context here in this passage in 1 Chronicles 13. And it says, and they carried the ark of God in a new cart out of the house of Abinadab, and Uzzah and Ahihu drave the cart. And David and all Israel played before God with all their might, and with singing, and with harps, and with psalteries, and with timbrels, and with cymbals, and with trumpets. And when they came unto the threshing floor of Chidon, Uzzah put forth his hand to hold the ark, for the oxen stumbled. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and he, God, smote him, Uzzah, because he put his hand to the ark, and there he died before God. You want to put your hand to God's work? You do not put your hands or your feet to God's ark, which is Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ did not and does not need any help from you by the works of your hands and or your feet. God will kill you if you attempt to put your hands to his work. If he, God, never changes your mind about who he is and leaves you believing that the work of your hands and your feet bring you any favor towards him, then you will die in your sins and be forever, eternally forsaken of God. We cannot and dare not try to add one thing to the work of Christ. When you do this, you only attempt to try and give glory to man, which God will not share. All glory and honor goes to Jesus Christ, the Lord. Put your hands or your feet to his work, and you will be destroyed. What does the Scripture tell us we are by nature? And this is everyone by nature, as we are born in Adam. This is all of us. In Isaiah 1, beginning in verse 5. Why should ye be stricken any more? Ye will revolt more and more. The whole head is sick, and the whole heart faint. From the sole of the foot, even unto the head, there is no soundness in it, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. They have not been closed, neither bound up, neither mollified with ointment. There is nothing in us or about us that would be of any value to God. We are a stench in God's nostrils. The only smell that God the Father has any satisfaction with is the sweet-smelling savor of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. If we could in any way put our hands or feet to his work, it would ruin the whole thing. Adding our hands or our feet to him, Jesus Christ the Son, God the Father will not allow. It is clear from Scripture that our hands and our feet are not something we should have any hope in as far as gaining favor before God. But there are some hands and some feet that truly did satisfy God the Father with the works done by them. Jesus Christ the Lord did many wonderful works, but he did one work for his people that was so gracious that if you ever are enabled to see it, you will glorify God. So what does it say about Jesus Christ's hands and his feet? First of all, God Almighty has value in more than just his hands and his feet. He has power in every part of himself. His thoughts are powerful, so much so that if he thinks something, it is so. God has power in his mouth. If God says something, it is so. What God thinks, God says. And what God says, he also does or carries it out with his hands and his feet. Jesus Christ came down and was born of a virgin. He came in the likeness of sinful flesh. So Jesus Christ has two hands, each with five fingers on them. He has two feet, each with five toes on them. I say Jesus Christ has because Jesus Christ is alive and seated at the right hand of God in a body. He is a real man. The God of all glory is a man with his own hands and his own feet. But these hands and these feet, those of Jesus Christ, always carried out the thought and speech of God Almighty. Christ Jesus was God manifest in the flesh, and he said himself that he came to do God the Father's will. And he did. With his hands and his feet, he was nailed to the tree. This is a real man who is God manifest in the flesh. This was painful for him. Each of those spikes used to nail him to the tree had to happen. He had to die on that tree for the sins of his people. He died for all the sins of his people and his people only. That is what the work of his hands and his feet did. Now let's read this text and keep in mind that Joseph is a type of Christ here in this passage. In Genesis chapter 39, if you'll turn with me there, Genesis chapter 39 and beginning in verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And he was there in the prison. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed Joseph to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they, all the prisoners that were in the prison, and whatsoever they did there, he, Joseph, was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, that's Joseph, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Jesus Christ's biggest work was to become my surety on that tree. He was my substitute who took my place, being made sin for me, being forsaken of God the Father. What I did, he did. This is the gospel. What does the word gospel mean? It means good news. The good news is Christ did all the work with his hands and his feet, and there is no more work to be done. He shed his precious blood to pay my sins, for my sins, and to pay for your sins if you are in him. So what sins I did, he did because he is my substitute. I do not have to do anything to gain salvation. All that is left to be done is for those for whom Christ died to be brought into that salvation, so that they will know of that salvation and what Jesus Christ the Lord did with his hands and his feet. In knowing this, they can lay down their arms against Jesus Christ and take sides with God against themselves, admitting their sinfulness and guilt before a holy, just God. But Christ did even more with his hands and his feet. He healed the sick, gave the sight to the blind, caused the deaf to hear, raised the dead, and preached the gospel to the poor. Jesus Christ had compassion on people and helped them. But even though God came down to this earth and did all this, people still did not know him. In fact, no one knew him unless he revealed himself to them. This is still true today. Unless God Almighty reveals himself to you, then you will never see him and who he really is and what he has really done with his hands and his feet. This same man who was on this earth is still alive and seated at the right hand of the Father. Even after his death and resurrection, he came in the midst of his disciples. And we read this in Luke 24. This was after his death, and he ascended to God, and he came back down to his disciples that were there in Luke 24. Luke 24, beginning in verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed himself his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. So this same Jesus Christ, as he's shown them in this passage, is alive today. He is not a little baby in a manger. He is exalted at the right hand of the Father, ever making intercession for his people. He has to be the one to open your understanding so that you might understand the Scripture. If he does not do this, then you will never know him. But if he does, you will see what his hands and his feet have done, and you will give all praise to him. You will see the print of the nails in his hands and in his feet, as it is revealed in Scripture, and your hope will be that your hands and your feet stay hidden in his hands and his feet. We have read that from the top of our head to the sole of our feet, we are nothing but death. I hope and pray that it is not all that God sees in me. My hope is only found in Jesus Christ, my Lord, and that I might be found in him. So everything we have seen so far shows us that the statement I first read to be a complete lie on God, the saying that says, God has no hands but your hands, and God has no feet but your feet. First of all, Jesus Christ is a man with his own hands and his own feet. He currently has them right now being seated at God's right hand. But it is what is meant by those who say this that is the biggest offense to God. They are saying that what Christ did was not good enough. They want to stick up their hands to steady the ark that they think is going to fall. Oh, what a dangerous thing to do. If God by his grace gives you life so that you are able to see who he really is as revealed in his word, then you will come to see that your hands and your feet are not useful to God at all. In fact, you will come to find out, just like Mephibosheth, you are lame on both your feet. You will know that with your hands, all you will do is devise ways to try and steal from God. Steal his glory, steal his throne. That is what Satan wanted to do from the beginning, and what all his, Satan's, children will do. You will only know him and what he has done as all if he, in grace, gives you life, and you will also come to know that it is he that works in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if you do anything of his good pleasure, it will be God that does it, working in you to do those things, so we cannot take credit for any of it. All honor and glory goes to him, because any work is done by him and for him. We do not want to lay our hands to his works. God will be displeased with that, as we have seen. God has not changed because he tells us in his word he does not change. We can always count on God because of this. We do not have to guess who God is or what he will do. He will honor and glorify Jesus Christ because it is he who did all the work with his hands and feet to accomplish salvation for his people. So if Jesus Christ never reveals himself to you, then you will never know him. But if he knows you, he will in time impart spiritual life to you and will send someone to you with the gospel. You will then believe that gospel to the saving of your soul. Do you believe God? Do you believe Jesus Christ is God and that he has come in the flesh and is accomplish salvation for your soul? Go to him. Don't move your feet. Don't use your hands. Just go to him asking for mercy, asking him to move toward you in grace. He delights to save sinners. Don't try to work something out with your hands. Beg Him to lay His hands on you, making you clean. You will never be found if you have not first been lost. I ask you, are you lost? You will never be healed if you are not sick. I ask you, are you sick? God will see to it that you come to the end of yourself if you're one of His. Do you have a place to go or a safe haven you can run to? I tell you, if you do not, then run to Jesus Christ. Scripture says Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It also says He came to save His people from their sins. So if you are a sinner, then you are one of His people. You will never know this unless He first performed the work on the cross for you with His hands and His feet. If He did not then, there is no hope for you. But if He did perform that work for you, and then in time, He will perform the work needed with His hands and His feet, giving you life in Him and sending you His glorious gospel. The life He has given, having the fruit of the Spirit, and that fruit, one of those fruit being faith in Christ, you will believe the gospel. And the gospel, what I've been telling you today, the gospel, you will then bow down to Jesus Christ and His gospel. If not, then you will forever be forsaken of God, and He never knew you. Your hands and your feet will receive of the work done by them, that work being iniquity before God. That is not a good thing. If you can, if this Jesus Christ is the one you know to be God Almighty, come in the flesh, working the work of salvation with His hands and His feet, then bow down to Jesus Christ and His word, and thou shalt be saved.